Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two here on Taco Tuesday. We got a listening audience that's like just going gangbusters right now, covering all of North Alabama and all the way into East Tennessee and Northwest Georgia and parts of Mississippi. Listen, we're going to go right now to the phones. Alabama's senior U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville is going to be on the line with us here momentarily. And you may want to know that in the new era that we're in, that U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville was also just recently announced as the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Personnel, which means he has direct impact over things that deal with manpower and readiness. He has been a stalwart when it comes to issues for our veterans. And in this whole discussion I'm doing about, you know, government work, and I think it's a different era we're in, like I said, Tuberville's in the thick of it. So let's go ahead and get him on the phone. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us, and congratulations on the new chairmanship.
Well, thank you. We're going to be focusing, Phil, on recruiting. How about that?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be a novel thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mess right now. We're way behind in recruiting. Actually, the last month and a half since President Trump has been elected, our recruiting has skyrocketed. And you think there's any correlation there about whether these young people, men and women, you know, having any confidence in President Trump as Biden's administration? It's amazing how things have changed here, Phil, in just a short period of time.
It really is. And you know, I'm a third-generation Army officer myself. My son's on active duty now. I can just tell you it's refreshing to know that there's an entirely different style of leadership that puts the troops first. I mean, I look at that in Hegseth's nomination. I look at that in your appointment to readiness and personnel. Let me ask you about that, too, Senator, if you don't mind. I know that one of the things that President Trump signed was an executive order saying that he's going to restore anyone who wants to come back in who was dismissed because of the vaccine mandates to their full rank and benefits. What are you hearing about that?
Well, 100%. And, of course, he ran on that, and President Trump is staying with all of his campaign ideas that he ran on, and people were expecting it, but it's only the right thing to do. And what they did to our military during COVID is an embarrassment to, you know, all the veterans, all the people that have been in the military before, you know, COVID, and you know, my dad was career military, and they pretty much have tried to destroy it from within. You know, transgenders in the military, President Trump signed an executive order saying enough and that enough's enough. You know, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars for a transgender person to stay in the military for healthcare reasons, and plus they can't deploy. You know, you can do whatever you want, but it doesn't give you the right to just do anything in terms of the federal government, especially being the military. But there's all kinds of things that President Trump's going to touch base with. But again, it all goes back to one thing. We've got to get this woke DEI nonsense out of the military. It's not an affirmative action situation. And, you know, some of the hearings I'm going to have on the personnel committee is like bringing up our supervisors from our academies, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force,
yeah.
Because it has really gotten deep into those, Phil, and we're not going to have it. We have got to clean house.
We do. I actually sit as a member of the board of advisors for a national organization called STARS that deals with, it's a bunch of retired, you know, generals and admirals who are sick of seeing wokeness in the military they love, many of whom are academy graduates, and they want it out of there. Listen, I mean, I think there's going to be a weeding out that has to take place, obviously. But I'm stoked about where it's headed. Can I ask you, though, in terms of recruiting, I know we're looking better right now, but are we going to wind up seeing, do you think, a complete uptick and put us back to full strength?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. But first of all, you know, you can recruit all you want, but if you don't train them, and actually war fighting instead of do all these classes in DEI and social justice and woke, that's a problem in what we're hearing in our military as we speak, that when they go into whatever branch of the military, they spend a tremendous amount of time in the classroom being detoxed and brainwashed in all these crazy ideas instead of going out and shooting guns, jumping out of planes, learning how to drive a tank, shooting off, you know, a missile, in something that characterizes what we do as a fighting force, not this agenda that the Democrats want to push on our young people of brainwashing them into something that they don't believe in.
Yeah, listen, Senator, I got to tell you, and I don't mean to get on my soapbox. I asked for you to call in, but I got to tell you, as a battalion commander, one of my last officer evaluations I had to write for a young captain was to evaluate his service as a combat leader, and I was required to delete some of the entries that I had put on about what a great combat leader he was to make sure I included mandatory phrases about him adhering to the equal opportunity plans and sexual harassment programs of the command. And it just galled me that I had to delete what he was good at to say what they wanted to hear. I just hope more of that's gone soon.
Well, new sheriff's in town. Yeah. That's going to change.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, one of the big things that I like about Pete Hegseth is he's closer to the age of the warfighter, and he's not one of these woke DEI generals that have their feet propped up over in the Pentagon that are over there collecting a paycheck, drive around, everybody opens the door for them. They never touch a doorknob. They have a $250 million budget, each one of them, with 2,000 bureaucrats hanging around or civilians that are snapping at their every need. It's time that we get back to spending that money on these young people that want to fight and protect us in this country, because that's where it should go. I mean, we're top heavy right now. So we're meeting every day, Phil, here in my office with, you know, the deputy SecDef, people that are going to be in charge of the Pentagon. And it is really, really refreshing to actually hear people talk about making this country better, making our military better, and protecting the United States of America, our borders, and our allies. It's totally refreshing.
Well, glad you're in the chairmanship that you're in, Senator. And let me switch gears with a little bit of time we have left. Confirmations are still ongoing. We've gotten, of course, Hegseth. We've gotten Kristi Noem. We've gotten the DNI, John Ratcliffe in. Several of them are in now, but there's some big ones coming up this week. What are you expecting with some of the more contentious stuff, like with Tulsi Gabbard and with RFK and even Kash Patel?
Yeah, well, the three big ones are Kash Patel, new FBI director, Tulsi Gabbard, intelligence, and, of course, RFK. And as I've told my fellow Republicans in luncheons and stuff when we have, listen, RFK helped get senators and the President of the United States elected because millions of millennials looked at what he talked about, what he thought about, making our food better, making our health better, and that's what they care about. And if we don't confirm him, we're going to lose those millions of millennials going back to where they were on the Democratic side. So I hope we understand that. You know, he's out of the box, which I'm fine with, but he's going to have good people around him, the CDC director, the NIH director. Dr. Oz is going to be here working with him. He's got a great team, but for some reason up here, even Republicans, you know, they feel the power of, hey, you know, nobody can tell me what to do. I'm going to vote on who I want to. Well, this is about America. This is not about your ego. But Tulsi Gabbard is going to be huge. Now, she's got some people that are concerned about her going to Syria or whatever. Like I've told them, listen, I'd go to Moscow right now and meet with Putin if they'd let me, because we got to get that war over with. And that's one of the reasons she went to Syria back during when we were having problems with Assad. But, you know, again, these people know better than everybody else, and we just got to get through these next few weeks, get them all confirmed, and Kash Patel has to get the FBI back, you know, on America's side instead of on the deep state side, and that's going to be a big one also. I've got RFK in a hearing on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Yeah, absolutely, and I look forward to seeing that. I'll be watching the televised version, but do you anticipate any of these having to go to recess appointments? Is Trump going to be able to get them all confirmed through the full Senate process?
Well, the problem with the recess appointments, and, you know, it's good to talk about, but you got to be in recess for 10 days.
Right.
There's no way that we can take 10 days off up here to get one person pushed across the finish line. We have got a lot of work to do in the next 24 hours, much less, you know, the 10 days. So we got a lot of work to do. I just hope my fellow Republicans, because we can do it without Democrats. Just, hey, bite the bullet. Let's get this done. You know, put your concerns behind you. Trust President Trump. Trust the 77 million people that voted for him. And let's make this country great again.
Outstanding. Well, listen, I got to ask you, though. I was up there for the inaugural events, and just the tone in D.C. feels different. And from an outsider looking in, but I talk about it every day, but from an outsider looking in, it feels like there's an entirely different feel to D.C. And I'm wondering, what's it like from the inside? Is it feel different to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is it different? I mean, it's night and day. Of course, you know, we have the majority now in all phases, and you've got a leader. We know what our leader stands for. Whether he's right or wrong, he's going to tell you what he thinks and what he believes and what he's going to do. And he's made more decisions himself than Joe Biden made in the whole 4 years he is here. You never knew from one day to the next what was going to happen here in Congress because Joe Biden was out to lunch. I mean, he wasn't making the decision. Somebody else was. So that's the reason you have to have a head coach or a president that you know is going to make a decision. Now, again, it might not be right, but he's going to stand beside it, and he's going to make sure that the decision he makes is going to be for the best of everybody. So, again, it's hard for these egos up here to look at that and say, you know, I've got to fall in line. But I'm telling you right now, our country's still in trouble. We've got a lot of things to do to get us out of trouble. We're so far in debt we can't see straight. And if we don't get cut our budgets and get the debt down and grow this country, get our GDP up around 3.5-4%, it's going to be hard to make it. And again, President Trump's doing everything he can do in those two areas to make sure the taxpayers in this country understand what we're doing to make it better.
Well, and I agree. And listen, I know that you know what I'm saying when I say this because of your own personal background. But you can come in with a game plan, but sometimes you got to change the plan to adapt to the game. And I've noticed that President Trump has been willing to pivot. He's been willing to make snap decisions, and they all seem to abide by the same principles that he came in with. And I just want to encourage you and thank you for what you're doing, because I feel like there's an opportunity here that may not come along in another generation.
Yeah, and the good thing about President Trump is, I go back to the leadership part, he's not afraid to make a decision because he knows he's got people around him, and if he has to adjust, he got to adjust. But we can't hem-haw around Phil in the next few months and get this country back. We don't have enough time to do that. We got to do it. We got to do it now, and then we got to have a lot of people behind all these decisions to make it work.
All right. Well, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, I want to stay in touch, and I appreciate you making time for us today. And we'll wait and watch, and we'll see what happens next.
Grab a hold and hold on, Phil. Don't be bumpy.
All right, Coach. We'll see you.
Thank you.
That's U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, and I do think he's right. Grab a hold, because it's going to get bumpy. But you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. If things ain't bumpy, ain't nobody leading. You know what I'm saying? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.